Father, looking at two passages. The first is from Ephesians, and it's from chapter 1, and I put the page number in the Bible, or in the bulletin. And later we're going to look at briefly at Psalm 23, so if you want to go there, you can as well. But for right now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. What page number is it? It's in the bulletin, right?
976.
Okay. And it's also going to be up here if you prefer to read along up here. I personally, when I study, I always find that anything that's in my lap is a little distracting. But so that's why it's up there. But some of you I know like to read along. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put these things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. The passage begins, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. When we start reading, and we see, for this reason, we ask, for what reason? But the statement is not referring to what was written, but is looking forward to what will be written. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith. The Bible is teaching us that when we hear of people with faith in the Lord Jesus and love toward all the saints, that we should respond similarly to how the Apostle Paul responded. And this is how he responded. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, that is the way we should respond when we hear that someone else is a believer. We should be positive and encouraging in things like this. Unfortunately, all too often, we respond with a bit more skepticism. We don't want to accept people where they are. We want to make sure that they're on the correct path and that they have traveled just as far as we think they need to have traveled. In short, we tend to judge people and we tend to investigate them before we decide whether or not we're going to be thankful for them. Now, I'm not saying that we should just be blind and accept everybody and, you know, everything's fine and lovely and hunky-dory. But let's face it, as Americans, we can be pretty persnickety when it comes to accepting someone for who they are and where they are. Recently, I'll just tell you this, on Facebook, blessed Facebook, I have a variety of friends. Some extremely conservative, some fairly liberal. And when Trump was elected, and one of my liberal friends, you know, was determined that this was the end of the world, which is yet to be proved. But so he was bemoaning that fact, and as I read down through some of his posts, one of his friends posted, "We traded a black president for an orange president." Okay, well, I will say this, that Trump is kind of ruddy in appearance. He's a little orangey. But, having said that, really, isn't that just body shaming? Isn't that? I mean, that's just body shaming. And we don't do that. But that's kind of where we're at so much in our society, is we want to make sure that people are exactly where we are, and that's it. There's no room, there's no wiggle room, no margin of error. They need to be where they need to be, or we're not going to like them. And we're going to say bad things about them. I assume you guys aren't touching anything since both of you have your hands in the air. In thinking about this, a story came to mind. Is the microphone still working? A story came to mind. It's a story that was told by comedian Emu Phillips, and it goes like this. "Once I saw a guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, 'Don't do it.' He said, 'Nobody loves me.' I said, 'God loves you. Do you believe in God?' I asked, 'Do you believe in God?' He said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Are you a Christian or a Jew?' He said, 'A Christian.' I said, 'Me too. Protestant or Catholic?' He said, 'Protestant.' I said, 'Me too. What franchise?' He said, 'Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Baptist.' I said, 'Me too.' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council 1912. And he said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And I said, "Die, heretic," and pushed him over. We can be a little like that, can't we? Do you know there's a magazine called The Guardian? They put out a big questionnaire, and this was voted the best joke ever. And it's a pretty good one. But sadly, we laugh because we know that there's some truth in it. Some truth about us. Because we often only accept people who are exactly like us. Emu Phillips, I don't think you'd want him to be your pastor or look to him for an example of faith. But he does look at his religious upbringing in a humorous light. So for no particular reason, I'm going to take you three more of his jokes. The first one says, "When I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bike. Then I realized God doesn't work that way. So I just stole one and asked him for forgiveness. And I got it." So, number two,
That's a joke.
Yeah. That's a joke. Sorry, sir. Number two. See if you get it, sir. Number two. Selah in Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall, standing there like a moron with my harpoon. Some of you will get that later. Probably in the middle of the sermon, you'll start to laugh. Number three. A Mormon told me that they don't drink coffee. I said, a cup of coffee every day gives you wonderful benefits. He said, like what? I said, well, it keeps you from being a Mormon. The apostle wrote in verse 15, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Then he goes on with what I found to be an interesting prayer list. He did not judge or condemn the Ephesians, but sight unseen, he prays blessings for them. So let's set the stage. Paul hears of their faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love toward all the saints. The apostles, the apostle response to hearing this is to not cease, that he does not cease to give thanks, remembering them in his prayers. Who do you consistently thank God for? Can you make a list? See, because I think this is a big problem clean across America. That we have forgotten how to keep our minds fixed on thankfulness. Not that we are never thankful, but that attitude of gratitude kind of has slipped away in our culture. One way to foster a thankful attitude is to write down a list of names of people you are thankful for, and then choose to be thankful for them. It's one thing to write the list. It's another thing to actually put it into action. So, pick somebody out of your mind. Somebody that you're just thankful for. And let me just pick at random. Let me just say that you're thankful for your father. Now, whether your father is alive or not, it doesn't really matter. But that, say that this is a person, your father's person, and you're going to choose to be thankful for him. That upon every remembrance, you're going to choose to be thankful. Even though there were times, I'm confident, that your father most likely disappointed you. I know that some of you have really crummy dads, and you're just going to have to not even put him on the list and choose somebody else. But I also think that when we look at the Ten Commandments and it says honor your father and mother, I think that the father is a good example because it's someone that God asks us to honor. I long with mother. Even though father's disappointed, they have given us some things. Some of you said, well, the best thing my dad ever gave me was he abandoned me. That might have been the best thing he could have ever given you, was to get out of your life. Believe me, there are plenty of people in this world that wish their dad was out of their life. So, choose that list. I'm going to suggest your father. And even though he's deceased, even though he definitely told you some things that disappointed you, if you are overall thankful for him, choose to be thankful upon every remembrance of him. Okay? No dwelling on the negative. Not denying the truth, but not dwelling on what's destructive. But being thankful for what is healing and joyful. I want you to put on that list, I want you to put, you know, 5, 6, 10 names of people that you're going to be thankful for every time, even though sometimes their humanity shows through. If you can't do 5, 6, or 10, do 2 or 3. Get some names down and start teaching yourself to be thankful for those every time you think of them. Put your husband on there. That'd be a good one. For the ladies, because every time that guy frustrates you, you have to remember to be thankful for him. And not just being thankful that you're probably going to outlive him. You guys have no sense of humor this morning.
That's not funny.
Yeah, it isn't funny.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought it was funny. My sense of humor is rather broad and deep. Now, here are some other... Now, in case you're thinking that, you know, I'm just pulling out one passage about being thankful, forget it. I could have written down many. Here are some Bible passages about just the fact that the New Testament wants us to be thankful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Or one of the most thankful passages, Colossians 3, 15 through 17, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were all called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the Old Testament, Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." And Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. There's a lot more things on the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that are the will of God in Christ for you. So that would be maybe a good study for you this week, is to look up all those things. But the last one mentioned was giving thanks in all circumstances. So certainly, if the Bible calls us to give thanks in all circumstances, certainly we can write a list of names of people we are thankful for and put God's name at the very top of that list. You know, sometimes he disappoints us, but the alternative to being disappointed with God is being disappointed without God, because disappointment and heartache will come. And those are the choices, either with him or without him. I choose with him. Now, when I first looked at this passage, I saw that the apostle was praying for the Ephesians, and I saw a list of things that he was praying for. When I thought, there's the reason for the passage, and that is to teach us how to pray for one another. And though that's a good Bible study, it fell short of the test of a good sermon, because a sermon has to have more application for today's situation. So the test for to take a passage And I write a sermon, and then I ask myself the basic questions. Who, what, where, when, why, and how? If I answer all those with the sermon, then I'm content that the message is good. So here's the answer simply put. Who? Who does this passage concern? Well, it concerned the apostle, it concerned the Ephesians, it concerns us, and it concerns the people that we know. So that's the who that's in the passage. What? Well, we're supposed to pray and be thankful. That's why. Where? Well, it doesn't really matter, but it says upon hearing. So where is when we find out. When? Well, that would be as soon as possible. As soon as you find out. Upon hearing, when do you pray? When do you be thankful? As soon as possible. So how? Now here's the list to pray for. So you've got your list, and it's your people, and you're going to pray for them. And so you're going to pray for them for the spirit of wisdom. You're going to pray for them for revelation. You're going to pray for them for knowledge. You're going to pray for them for enlightened hearts. Remember the song that we sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart"? This is exactly where that song comes from. So pray for enlightened hearts. Pray for hope. Pray that your loved ones would understand that they are God's glorious inheritance. Let that sink in. We're worried about our inheritance. Did it ever occur to you that you are God's inheritance? That when earth ends, what does He get? Us. We're His inheritance. And that we have His power. His power comes to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that power applies in today, in this age, and it applies in the age to come. That's the future age. Now for us, I'm not talking about today as in today, April 22nd, and the day to come as April 23rd. I'm talking about today as when we are alive. This age. And then the age to come when we're dead. Because those who die believing rise to life like He died and rose again. And number 10, we should be praying for our list of thankful people, for a church, that they would be in a church, that they would be in a church, that they would have a church, that they would be part of a church, that they would be functioning, because that is where the fullness of God shows up. A lot of people today say, well, you don't need to have the church to go to heaven. Well, where is that verse at? To receive Jesus Christ. But if you've received Jesus Christ, you've received so that you will give. So where do you give? If not to God's people, who will you give to? If not to His very inheritance, where will you want to share your love? You say, well, I want to bless all the lost people in the world. Well, God wants to bless all the lost people in the world, and He is. But the church is His arms and His feet and His hands and His eyes and His mouth. Imagine a world with no church. Does it matter whether you're here or not? Absolutely. You say, well, I'm awful tired on Sunday morning and I nap. Well, get more sleep and come to church. Church is an important part. I don't want to diminish any of our needs to pray for these things, but there's still one question that I haven't answered, which is the last question, which is why. Why do we pray and why are we thankful? It goes back to saying, because I have heard of your faith. That's how the apostles started this. Because I have heard of your faith. That's why we pray. In life, there are many troublesome times. And not only is it nice to know that people are praying for us, makes us feel good to hear that, but there's the other reality that prayer actually moves God. And when trouble comes, we need to know that there is a safety net in place. One of the verses that many of us use, one of the passages that many of us use when we want to remind ourselves of that safety net, is the 23rd Psalm. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you find yourself in a valley, follow God. He will see you through. Verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. One of the reasons that we have so many problems in our lives is because we are so busy fixing all the problems in our lives. We're so busy changing things and organizing things and trying to make things right that we never take the time to just let God bring the healing to us that He wants to do, that He wants us to just lie down in a green pasture. And He wants us to just sit beside the still waters. And He just wants us to reflect on Him and us and how we fit together. So shut off the phone. Turn off the music. Let the wind blow in your face. And just let the cold, hard facts cover you. And in His presence, you will find how He restores the soul and leads in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me pause there just for a moment. Because verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is what I want to always add to that verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and even if I stay there, even if you are stuck there and you cannot find your way out, even then, He is with you. I'd love to tell you that there's always a way out, but the cold hard facts are that a lot of people die in the midst of their troubles. Because sometimes death is the only way out. The moment when we are stuck, with nowhere to run, that is when the verse continues. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When life is pressing in and there seems to be nowhere to turn, God is anointing our heads with oil. God is preparing a table in our presence. He has prepared a place for us to walk, a place for us to sit, a place for us to relax. Even as Mary Magdalene anointed Jesus' head before His death, so we take the power offered by God's anointing on our heads and we stand. We stand and we say, win or lose, this can be done by the power of God, for the glory of God, so we are not afraid. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, we are pressed on every side, by troubles. But we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed.
Amen.
And then, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is why we pray. That is why we are thankful. Because this world isn't all roses. Because there's a lot of it that's really ugly. That's why we pray. We pray for one another, and we are thankful for life. We're thankful for the life that God has given us, and we use the scriptures as an example to teach us how we're to respond to life. And so it is my challenge to you today to not let life run over you, but stand with God and take His strength and endure it. By your own power, you will come up short every time. But if God has His hands under your armpits, He will carry you right on through. You will get lumped and bumped and beat up, but you will make it. God's power was shown when He raised Jesus from the dead. And since God can give life to what was dead, He can do anything. And we can count on Him guiding us to a valuable end, both in this age and the age to come. And that is why we pray. Don't let today's words just fall by the wayside. Take them. Make that list. Make it a practical thing for you. Don't just come week after week and listen to the sermon and go home and forget everything. Allow the Word of God to soak in. Allow it to make changes. Because when you do that, you will find yourself transformed from the inside. Not conformed by the world beating you up, but transformed by the power of God. When you find yourself in that spot, anything the devil throws at you will bounce off. Let's stand together. Let's pray. We're definitely with you. Though we might not understand everything, Lord, that we heard today, and though it is hard to apply, You, Lord, are with us in all things. So help us, Father. Help us to be mindful of who You are and how You want us to live. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity today to learn and to grow. In Christ's name we pray.